Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
Should we start by saying that there might be some rumbling and noises in the background as our street is being paved as we talk?
Yes. We're so sorry.
We're going to go ahead and record because it's a three-week process, apparently. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be probably more than one podcast that might sound like this. But so we'll just preface that and let's get right into the story for today. So I named this lady, you know, a made-up name, I named her Freya. And at the very beginning of Freya's session, she says to me, "Karen, I'm here to listen." She goes, "I listen to the podcast. I watch you on Instagram reels." She goes, I wrote out lists of questions. Then I organized my list of questions. And then I sat down and thought, nope, maybe I just need to go with the attitude of just listening. And then I went back to my questions again. She says, trying to be organized and flip-flop all over the place. And I finally settled on the fact that I just want to be here to hear what the guides want to say to me and not the dead people so much, The guides. She said, so this is sincerely my choice. So the guides begin and say to her, okay, we want to talk about your relationship with your mother. And I see Freya do a number of things, like all these emotions all over her face, like, yes, and also no. Mm-hmm. you could just see the torturous feelings that brought up, eh? And the guides began by saying, okay, so we're going to talk about this today, but we want to begin by saying and showing you how much we are proud of what you are doing. So let's get Karen to happy dance in her seat. And I did, quite happily, and celebrate that and acknowledge that she's working on it, that she's doing her best, and that she is researching, that she is, and they listed things, Kelly. They would go on and say things like that she listens to podcasts, that she reads books, that she's in therapy, she's been in therapy in the past. They pointed out a variety of things, like they showed her journaling. They showed her writing letters, like to her mom, all kinds of things, and said, look, we want first for her to know we see every attempt. And we are pointing it out because we want to show you the attempts that her mother has made. None. Mm-hmm. That was significant. So to point that out to Freya and to completely list what the guides have seen her do, to work on her relationship with her mom, and then to say, okay, Freya, you're doing all these things, and you see Freya like, yeah, yeah. And then they go, okay, now we're going to tell you what we see your mother doing. Nothing. And Freya's just like, huh? And it was like the guide said to her, well, wait a minute. Does that actually surprise you given her behavior? And she goes, no.
Well, is she genuinely shocked or does she not know what her mom is or isn't doing?
Is she genuinely shocked? You know, Kelly, I think that's a really good question. I think that's about processing.
Well, my question comes from a place of she has limited contact with this person, her mom, she may not have any idea whether or not her mom is or isn't working. And so it is genuinely like, oh, that sucks. Mm-hmm. Versus if she's still in contact in this person's life and she's like, oh, that's true.
B.
It's not shocked. It's just, fuck, I've got to deal with that reality where you're calling it process.
Second one.
Okay.
And I'm glad that you broke that down so people could understand the difference.
Yeah. And obviously the guys are saying too, like, are you, you know, given her behavior, it's evident.
So Freya is in contact with her mother. And it is exactly the second one that you said. Okay. It's this, oh, okay. So why did I think she was if I was working? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you tell the story.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So Okay, I'm going to continue. There's a little bit of a conversation there, not much, because Freya kind of wants to move on. Mm. And like she listens to it a little bit about the fact that her mom's not doing any work. But really, the guides are letting it sink in as to why she's actually surprised by her own response. Like why she thought maybe her mom was doing work when there was no evidence that she was. Mm-hmm. So was it a hopefulness? Was it a delusion? And so there's a little bit of a conversation.
Same.
There's a little bit of a conversation between Freya and the guides right there in that moment in her response as to where she is with her thinking mm-hmm. and her emotions. And then once that occurred, she said to me, I've had this conversation before. And I said, yes, I know you have. She goes, do you know who with who? And I said, well, the guys are saying with your husband. And she goes, yeah. And I said, so you've actually been questioned about this before. It's a pattern of your own denial. Because your husband, you're saying your husband said has brought this up to you about your mom not doing any work. Now the guides are bringing it up and you're surprised every time. And she goes, oh, yes.
So another word for that is not surprise. It's cognitive dissonance, meaning I refuse to be in or accept the reality.
Yes.
So I'm going to disassociate and just pretend like reality isn't what it is.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's avoidance.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if we keep calling it surprised, hopefully people will go easy on us.
Yeah. And the guides point out that as her husband is keeping up to her because she's in therapy, learning all these books, doing all these things, he's like, well, I got to get on board.
Nice.
As he's doing it and as he's doing his own therapy, he's learning what's going on with his wife. And he's pointing out and he's saying the terms to her. So when I say on behalf of the guides that it's cognitive dissonance, she'll go, my husband's going to enjoy this recording more than me. Like this, because he's saying these things to me and my therapist is trying to explain these things to me and I see that I'm part of the problem.
That's good.
Yeah. So then she goes, okay. She goes, I obviously need to hear it again. And she says, but I'm understanding that I kind of go along saying I need to hear things more than once, but you guys are all telling me that it's cognitive dissonance and it's not just that I have this personality trait.
And you have a severe inability to use air quotes properly.
I do. I'll put my fingers down. My loaded fingers down.
Okay.
Loaded because they upset you.
You do. Yeah. I have like minimal patience left. Proceed with caution.
Okay, so then she wants a little break right there. And the guides are like, okay, we're just going to go back and we're going to talk about her childhood for a second. And we want to bring up the fact that her mom conditions her to please her. However, every time Freya pleases her mother, which is repeatedly, her mother withholds. She withholds love. She withholds praise. She does anything to withhold. And then Freya has temper tantrums because she's not getting her needs met, so she has tantrums. And mom then gets angry at the temper tantrums and punishes her for the tantrums. Yeah. So that, and she goes, this is true. How do you know this? And I said, well, because the guides are telling me and they're showing me, like I'm there. And she goes, oh, okay. And I said, but that's not the point. You're going off topic down a content tube by asking me how I know.
It's called diverting.
Yes. And I said that. I said, that's a form of verbal abuse called diverting. And I said, and that's one of the things that your mom did to you constantly was to divert to the point where you were so frustrated that you had another temper tantrum. And I said, so even to this day, and she goes, oh my God, I get it. And I said, so even to this day, when you try to bring up clear, concise content that you've worked through with your therapist, you've worked through on your own, you've worked through with the books, with the podcasts, with your partner, you come all prepared. Then you get in front of your mom and she creates all the diversions. And I said, she throws all these content tubes at you in order to dysregulate your emotions. Mm-hmm. And then she creates a state of chaos in you. And I said, she's been doing this since you were a very little child, like really small. And I said, and it's her way. And she goes, why? And you could see Freya like all the frustration coming out. You can see it in her to have control over you. She does all of this to project her own emotions of anger and frustration into you. So that as soon as she sees you dysregulated in your emotions, upset, freaking out, doing all that shit, she feels better than you. She feels that she can fix you and that she can control those feelings by punishing you.
Doesn't feel like she can fix her. That's not accurate, but keep going.
Agreed.
She feels better than you.
Yes. That's okay. I'm going to say that's better said.
It's entirely different. Punishment doesn't work to solve anything. Consequences do.
Right. You're right. It's not to fix you in the way of being healthy. It's to control. Yeah. Thanks, Kelly. Mm-hmm. I like that you're correcting the language because other people might be listening to that and go, what? How's that fixing?
Yeah. This happens in tons of relationships, right? You don't have to think about mother-daughter. This could be partnerships where I will create chaos in you and then I'm going to try and solve your problem for you.
Yes.
That does happen a lot, right? But that's not fix. That is, well, many people are latching onto your brilliant term, confucking.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I wish I'd remembered that during the session, but it just didn't come up. But that is a really good term for it. So we talk about the guides talk to her about the states of confusion that she's in on a regular, and even how she'll go into states of confusion at work, in work environments, and then totally shit the bed at her job, but not be able to see that for herself because she's working so hard. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, she feels that she's working harder than everybody else at work.
Yeah, and in some realities, that is true.
Yes. And then when she goes to, startled Winston, and then when she applies for a promotion, there's no way they're considering her. Mm-hmm. And she goes, Karen. Okay, it was one of the questions on my paper. She goes, it's one of the things I wanted to know. Why am I not getting ahead in my career?
If you're a narcissist and obviously therefore dysregulated, you can have promotions. If you're not a narcissist and you're just dysregulated, you're not getting promotions.
Thank you.
You have to be either healthy as shit and know your shit inside out.
Yeah.
Or be on the complete other end of the spectrum and be so somehow valuable that people are willing to overlook how unhealthy you are. You cannot be in the middle of unhealthy.
Kelly, that's so perfectly said.
And I'm not saying it's right. It's just the way it is.
It is the way that it is. And so the guides didn't tell her about the narcissistic part. They just came in and said to her that she's so dysregulated that nobody finds her trustworthy.
Everyone observes her to be not trustworthy.
Yep. Exactly. And she sat and looked at me and she went, but I work so hard to be trustworthy.
No. If you're working hard to people please, you are working in the opposite direction of being trustworthy.
And that made no sense to her when I said that. She sat there and she was like, no, I'm confused again. Now, and then she says to me, I'm just as confused as I was at the beginning. And she goes, are you doing the same type of confusion to me as my mother did?
Oh, fair question.
Exactly. And I said, oh, no, honey, I'm not at all. I said, I'm trying to explain things to you in a regulated way, in a non-controlling way.
And logic.
And yeah, with logic. And she goes, well, this is a bugger. She says, because you mean to tell me that I'm so messed up that when somebody tries to actually give me logic, I think it's what's messed up? Mm-hmm. And I said, that's exactly right, Freya. And she goes, now I understand my husband. She goes, and I also understand then why I married my husband. She goes, because he's logical. She goes, so there's obviously a part of me that desires the healthiness, I picked him. And she said, so I am so grateful I did. And I am so grateful that I'm in therapy and that I'm doing all of this work and that I'm talking to my guides. She says, I will have to listen to this recording over and over again because I have to start understanding that my brain and the way my mom raised me was to sit in all of the confusion and go down all the content tubes of all the confusion. Mm. And she goes, oh my God, now I'm understanding my job. Mm. She goes, oh my God, something just became clear to me. I go down all the content tubes and that's what my boss keeps telling me, that I get lost doing one particular thing and that I can't come out and just get the bigger job done, that I over obsess. I'm always told that I get obsessive about the wrong things. Mm. She goes, and I've been accused of a dog, what's that expression, being a dog with a bone, won't let the, oh, I shouldn't have done this. Everybody knows I don't get my things, right? My brain is still trying to find that expression.
Move on.
she can't let go.
Similar to your.
Yeah, similar to my brain right now. This is so funny. She can't let go of each of the content tubes because mm-hmm. her mother trained her not to. Mm-hmm. Her mother trained her to go down one. And as soon as she went down one, she'd throw another one at her. And sometimes she threw so many so fast that she was so confused that she would spend days and weeks and months trying to come out of one of those.
Yeah, keeps her busy.
Yeah, and her mother would already be on to doing what she wanted to do. And getting Freya to be so manipulated, she would do something just to get relief. Or that she would stay in the content tube as a distraction so her mother could do whatever else she wanted outside of that while Freya was busy. And so now Freya is starting to understand, oh my goodness, I need to come out and not go down that. This is what's stopping me from progressing in my career. This is what's driving my girlfriends crazy. Like, I can totally hear different comments in my mind. She says, I can hear one particular girlfriend who just loses it with me all the time. And everybody else in our friend group attacks her and says to be nicer to me and defends me. So I think they're being good friends. And I think that girlfriend is my worst girlfriend of all the girls in the group. And she says, but now today, she says, I'm understanding that one girlfriend is the one that loves and cares about me the most. And she said, and I'm now realizing all my other girlfriends just don't know how to deal with me. Oh my God. She says, this is terrible. And she says, it's terrible in the friend group what I'm causing. Mm-hmm. She says, I'm the cause of a ton of problems in my girlfriend group. And I said, oh, okay. She goes, Karen, it was also one of the questions on my page. What is wrong with so-and-so and what freaking issue does she have with me? But the whole way that I was approaching it was that she's the problem and that she's the one with the issue with me, but I'm not the issue. And now the spirit guides are saying that this one issue that they've identified, this one pattern that my mom has done in my life, is literally destroying all my relationships in every single area of my life. And the only one it's not destroying so far is the one with my partner, because he's the logical person that understands what I've been through and he's just trying to walk me out of it. And she goes, wait a minute. She goes, it's another question on my page. I wanted to know if my husband was going to leave me. And she goes, and I wondered where the hell that question was coming from. But doesn't it make sense that that's a question and a fear if I'm behaving this way and the issue is within me and I'm not fixing it?
Yeah. At what point is he going to lose patience?
Exactly.
The friend is already losing patience if she's resorting to verbal abuse, meaning yelling at her and being impatient, right? Mm-hmm. If he hasn't exercised the forms of verbal abuse yet, she may be feeling the slow boil, right, of resentment underneath if she's not moving ahead fast enough with her work.
Exactly. And that was one of the things on her page, was what was going on with her partner. And this, as you called it, a slow simmer of resentment and anger and frustration with her, in spite of the fact that she's doing all of these things trying to get better and working on the relationship to be in it and working so she can get that promotion and working so that that friend can be like the other girls in the group and just have a happy group of girlfriends. And so she was sitting there going, okay, I'm so grateful. She says that I came here and said, I'm here just to listen. And that I actually sat down. And she said, so now I understand why the spirit guides are happy, because I actually am doing some work. And she said, I understand why they're celebrating, because I'm here to listen, and that I put all my questions aside. They're here on my table, by the way. She says, they're right beside me. But I put them aside to be able just to listen to them. And she goes, instead of thinking that I came here and that I needed to be in control of the session, and I still got all my questions answered and my needs met. But in a way, and she goes, is that it? Is it because now it's in a way that I actually could hear it instead of by the way of me asking each of the questions? And she goes, that's really brilliant. She goes, I'm really appreciating the brilliance behind what they did and how they saw my list of questions and helped me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I myself sit in awe as it's coming out of my mouth. And then how she's saying, oh, this is what I needed and this is what I needed. So at the very end of it, she said, so can you just ask the guides if I'm in the right direction in the things that I'm doing? And the guides came back and said, yes, but that the therapist that she was with, how would I say it, wasn't giving her the tools, was asking her questions and kind of had her going in her own little loops, but wasn't saying, here's a tool to practice. And this is where her husband's frustration was building, because he thought, if you're coming out of therapy, where are the tools? When you're coming out of therapy, what are we working on this week? So he would say to her, okay, so you go back in a week or 2 weeks, what are our assignments for the week? What skill or what tool are we using? And how am I supposed to implement it with you? And she doesn't have any. So she would always say, well, I don't know. And he'd say, well, what do you do in therapy? And she'd say, well, I talk. And they ask me questions. And I say how I'm feeling and what I've been through. And he says, look, you've been going for like over half a year. You should be getting something. You need to move on. But she was reluctant to move on because she had built...
to another therapist.
Yes, to another therapist. But she was reluctant to because she didn't want to have to tell the story. And she thought that it would be another 6 months of telling the story before she got a tool. Mm-hmm. And the spirit guide said, no, 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 no. When you go to a qualified, you know, a good therapist, yes, you'll talk in the first session, but you're most likely going to leave with at least one tool to begin with. And you'll get more each time you go. And you'll be told if you're doing well, what you're doing well, and what you're not doing well. And if you're actually using the tool or not. If
you know, not necessarily.
Well, I was just going to say, if she has a good therapist.
Okay.
The point is, if she has a good therapist. So the guys were talking to her about what good therapy could look like and what it could give her, so that she had some expectations of when she picks another person, what she's looking for and what she's asking for when she goes. Go ahead. Did you want to add more to that?
Yeah, I'm losing faith in therapy.
Oh, okay.
The more people I talk to, the more countries we see people from. Where therapists, granted, are behind so much red tape. And I'm saying that because I'm not picking on the people. I'm picking on the system that tells them they're not allowed to say, you're being verbally abused. They have to skirt around the issue. They can't come out and say, you're not doing your homework. What are you doing here? Right? Like, there isn't the permission to hold their clients accountable. It's more about creating a safe space for their clients to come and talk than it is for them to say, get your ass in order and let's move.
No, and I know, Kelly, because our client base is worldwide. Do you know of some countries that are doing a better job?
I don't. Okay. And the other red tape is that they have jurisdiction of who they're allowed to conduct their therapy with.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, all that to say, we do need to find a healthy therapist, the person, and we also need to find a healthy form or lineage of therapy, right? Because if you go into narrative therapy, you will just be talking. Your therapist will not. It's more of a debrief or a vent session, right? You need to choose certain types. Like if you're going into IFS, internal family systems, mm-hmm. if you're going into cognitive behavioral therapy, you're going to get homework. Mm-hmm. It's not just concepts and theories that are up in your head. There are practical tools to implement. So we do need to look at both the person and the actual form of therapy if you're seeking someone out.
Okay. Oh, well, that's helpful. That's good, especially for listeners that may have never been to therapy and never considered it. So thank you for that too. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the session ends this way with her thanking the guides about being able to explain this to her and being able to give her the resources in the session. As everybody knows that have seen us, we give resources. In terms of what I do as a channeler, I do not hold them accountable. Because I'm channeling. You do as a life coach. Mm-hmm. That's different. There's accountability in the coaching.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying my discovery calls lately in the last few months. Most people are coming in to their discovery call to figure out if life coaching is the right next step for them. And they will flat out say, I'm here because I want you to kick my ass. And I'm like, well, all right, let's do that.
Yeah.
And it's done with the same energy of your happy dances and love.
Yeah.
But it is like, let's get some fucking work done. Mm-hmm. Let's have no confusion about the direction that you're headed in, right? Mm-hmm. Let's make sure we are moving forward in a healthy direction with the people that want to move with us.
Ooh, that's awesome, Kelly.
Cool. Well, thanks for the session today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.